Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, you've probably heard of Tomas Lopez. He's the Florida college student who was fired from his lifeguard job at a public beach for leaving his post to help a distressed swimmer outside his area, even though the supervisor he'd called ordered him to stay. By the time Lopez got to the swimmer who was struggling outside his area, others had rescued him, and lifeguards from other stations came over and covered for Lopez, so no one was in danger, but he was fired for disobeying an order. This became a national embarrassment for Hallandale Beach and Jeff Ellis and Associates. Tomas and his supervisor worked for this global private contractor hired by the city of Hallandale Beach to manage their lifeguards, something their fire department used to do. And to Stephen Perlstein of the Washington Post, that makes this story a parable about outsourcing, public municipalities and private companies contracting out work. Stephen Perlstein is the Washington Post business columnist. Let's spend a few minutes on this today. Stephen, you say the lesson of the Lopez story is that the business model of large contract companies that specialize in one thing, and Jeff Ellis and Associates only trains and manages lifeguards, and by the way, they have 700 clients in 50 states and 14 countries, that the business model of this company depends on rules.
It's important if you run one of these things to keep people obeying the rules, because if everyone starts freelancing, then the whole system sort of starts to go away. Interestingly, when the supervisor asked some of his colleagues who complained about his firing, they said, well, would you have done the same thing? They said, yes, we would have done the same thing. And they got fired too. You know, there are different models of how to do business. One model that we see a lot in outsourcing is to hire people who have less experience, less knowledge, less skill. So you say, well, that's bad. But then you equip them with all sorts of systems in which the experience and the knowledge is embedded in the system. So I'll give you an example that's not a contracting, but you get maybe it will help you understand it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a cook to make hamburgers at McDonald's. Why don't you have to be a cook? Because they tell you everything to do by the second. You put this hamburger here, you do it for 30 seconds, then you turn it over. No one's asking you ever to exercise discretion. Well, maybe it'd be better if we cooked it a little more on one side than the other. You don't exercise discretion right on a system like that. The system has the intelligence in it. They don't need people with intelligence. You know, that's analogous to what you see in contracting, which is we don't hire experienced, high-priced people. That's how we save the money. But we don't give you much inferior service because most of the time there's enough intelligence in our procedures, in our ways of doing business, in our software that make it possible for us to do almost as good for a lot less money.
The city of Hallandale Beach says by going with this private company, they could cut the city's annual $700,000 budget for lifeguards in half.
It was significant. Now, why was it significant? Because firemen have unions, and fire unions are very strong, so they probably had very good pay as well as very good benefits, whereas Jeff Ellis management, at least for summer employees, probably, you know, I think we're paying something like $8, $9 an hour to the summer lifeguards.
I think that's what Tomas Lopez said, because the company, after firing him, tried to hire him back, and he said, you know, no, it's not worth it to me. There's not enough money.
Right. You know, there are trade-offs involved, and I'm not saying the trade-offs are, you know, they're always good or they're always bad. So you save, in this particular case, which is pretty extreme, you cut in half your bill for doing something. Well, that's a serious amount of savings. And there's been 9 years since Jeff Ellis has been doing it. There's been no drownings. On this particular example, they got embarrassed. I'm just saying that there are trade-offs involved. If you want someone at the other end of a call center to give really top-flight service, to be very flexible, to see when there are situations that are not anticipated by the rules and have the power and the authority to make changes, to exercise discretion, you know, then you're going to have to pay for that. So there's some trade-offs.
Yeah.
Oftentimes when we're at the other end of the phone from the call center, we don't think it's a very good trade-off, which is why, in fact, a lot of companies are bringing some of their call centers back to handle their more difficult calls.
So what are you saying here? Are you saying if this hadn't been this, you know, highly polished company running the lifeguards, that there might have been a chance for a public worker to say, okay, listen, we'll deal here. You know, you run off and we'll have a lifeguard move down. I mean, you know, you compare this situation to, you know, a security guard who won't let you in the building you've worked in for 25 years because your ID card has expired, even though they know you.
Maybe because he's new and because there's a turnover of 300% in security guard firms. He doesn't know you because he just arrived last week.
But are you saying if this weren't this kind of a privatized company, there might have been a little bit more leeway or knowledge of the situation?
Yes. Yes, because you probably would have been. Thomas Lopez was a 20-year-old kid. He was doing this for the summer. If the city had been running it, it probably would have been something closer to either a full-time employee or someone who did it every, you know, in Florida there's a long season, who did it every year, who has more experience. They didn't have so many rules. They're more apt to be told to exercise their discretion. And they wouldn't be fired for such a thing. Nor, frankly, would the union allow them to be fired for such a thing.
You write about how something else is happening when we have this privatization outsourcing. We have almost two economies, some people on a lower rung, some people on the higher, and they can't go from one to the other.
When you outsource, in order to get lower labor costs, you drive down those the costs of people who do that kind of work. And at the same time, you create a smaller group of highly paid workers who are the ones who take all that knowledge, that experience, and they build it into the system that I was talking about. The system has intelligence in it, and it requires people to create it, and it requires people to maintain it and manage it. And those people will wind up getting paid more because they're running a system that has lots of different customers. So once you devise the system, once you devise the system for life-saving or the system for providing security in an office building or the system for providing food at a company cafeteria, once you have the system and you have the rules and you have the ways of doing business, you can replicate them hundreds and thousands of times. So the people who are involved in devising those systems are very highly paid. So you have high-paid people and then lots of low-paid people, as opposed to a system in which you want the intelligence to be in the human head and the experience to be in the worker, in which case you have many more workers who are paid sort of more on average. This is one of the things that drives income inequality. When you have sort of dividing work into high-paid work and low-paid work.
And you can't get from the low-paid to the high-paid because, as you said, you're not being trained to think and grow. You're being trained to just follow the, just to make the hamburger.
To just follow the rules.
Yeah.
And this is not very good career ladders.
Well, you just mentioned that companies are bringing back some workers as opposed to call centers because of all these problems we've been listing, and you have some hilarious examples, and people can think of their own. In fact, we'd love to hear them at hereandnow.org, the rigidity of an outsourced worker. And Washington State columnist Larry Simoneau wrote about how companies, if they're going to do this, they should hire a grandmother as a consultant, just so that you can have some common sense around these rules. But you have said that you think we're entering a new phase. Companies, bringing these
things
back.
We saw it in manufacturing.
And we have looked at that, how manufacturing jobs are coming back to the U.S., and when they do, they're higher-skilled jobs than when overseas. Stephen Perlstein, a business correspondent for The Washington Post, on what the firing of a lifeguard tells us about privatizing jobs. More in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back to our slightly different take on that story about the lifeguard fired because he disobeyed his supervisor's order and left his station to make a rescue. His supervisor worked for Jeff Ellis & Associates. Now, our guest, Stephen Perlstein, Pulitzer Prize-winning business columnist for The Washington Post, says huge companies like Jeff Ellis are successful because they specialize in one thing, in this case, lifeguarding. But they also create systems with low-paid workers who are taught not to use discretion. And he says the lifeguard story is a parable about outsourcing. Now, lifeguards aren't going to be outsourced to another country or replaced by robots, but this contracting out what were once public jobs to a private company and its cousin, outsourcing work, say, to foreign call centers, is ruffling feathers. And, Stephen, you were just saying that American manufacturing is now bringing back outsourced jobs.
And I think you'll see it also in service. You will be able to do what you transact the business you do with these call centers more and more online, except in the hard cases, you need to talk to a human being, and there are those instances. And in that case, however, you need to talk to a human being who can exercise discretion, who has experience. In that instance, you might bring back the work but you'll have to bring it back with people who probably are at a higher level than not only the people who are offshore, but even the people that used to be in your operation 10 years ago when you decided to send it out in the first place.
But, Stephen Perlstein, let's go back to lifeguarding.
Yeah.
What happens there? As you note, you're not going to have a robot for a lifeguard, not in our lifetimes. You're not going to, you know, the lifeguard isn't going to be outsourced to another country. But in this situation with this management company, there is a supervisor in a call center. Hallandale Beach has said it's not going to extend the contract of Jeff Ellis Management. But meantime, do you think towns are going to be thinking, you know what, we might pay a little more, but I'd rather have the lifeguard there with a supervisor who knows them because they, you know, he coached him on his high school football team, and this is something we'd rather not outsource?
No, I think that they probably won't decide to do it, that they will see that it's a good trade-off, that, in fact, nothing really bad happened, and that, in fact, Jeff Ellis Management delivered no fatalities in 9 years. Also, their lifeguards are pretty well-trained. By the way, you say that there's no robots doing life-saving, and I can't, you know, I don't imagine that there is, but that's not necessarily true, Robin, that technology can't help a lot. You might be able to put sensors out on the water that would give lifeguards an earlier warning of when things are bad and would allow you, therefore, to have fewer lifeguards. I'll tell you one thing which I wasn't able to get in, just for space reasons, into the piece, but the first thing Jeff Ellis Management did is said, look, you guys are patrolling the entire stretch of beach. We're only going to patrol one-third of the beach. There are going to be parts of the beach that are patrolled, and there are going to be parts of the beach where we very clearly say, swim at your own risk.
But then, as it turns out, you know, somebody is struggling in the unpatrolled area.
Well, it depends on whether you think it's the job of the city to prevent anyone from doing anything that hurts himself, even when you warn them not to do it. Is that really the role of municipal government to tell people that, you know, look, go over here, we'll guard you. If you go over here, we won't. And then when you get in trouble, say, oh, never mind, we meant to protect you. It's a perfectly rational thing for a city with a long beach to do.
So these are all the questions that are raised, as I guess what you're saying. And this is the equation that towns have to weigh when they're considering this kind of outsourcing.
What any business has to weigh when you consider outsourcing, or any enterprise, whether it's a city or a company. This is the sort of trade-offs that enterprises make all the time when they decide to move work out of house. They get advantages of economies of scale and expertise when they do that, but there are downsides. And the downsides are that these companies have their systems, and they are not as flexible. The people who work in them are not as highly skilled, probably as used to do it as in-house, and you wind up creating two labor forces, the low-skilled, low-paid labor force, and the higher-skilled, higher-paid. There are pluses and minuses. You know, we all ought to be grown-ups about it and understand that trade-offs are made. You say, well, you lose all those good jobs. Well, yeah, you lose all those good jobs, and you just save the taxpayers a lot of money. Or, well, they don't have the discretion to make these kinds of decisions. Well, they don't. And how important is that? 99% of the time, or 98% of the time, it's probably not important. And then 1 or 2% of the time, it is. Well, maybe when you're dealing with life-saving, maybe that matters. On the other hand, maybe when you're dealing with, you know, changes in flight tickets, well, maybe it isn't such a big a deal. So companies are pretty sophisticated, actually, when they make these decisions about what they're giving up and whatnot, although they tend to kid themselves, partly because the contractors convince them that there's no downside or there's very little downside. But as anyone who's been at the other end of a call center call knows that there is some time. You know, to give you an example of how technology can change this, it used to be you called when you wanted to renew your prescription from an online or from a wholesale pharmacy, you called up and you talked to a human being, and they renewed your prescription. Now, I'm sure you've done this, you call up and you talk to a machine. They have voice recognition, you give the number, they ask you a few questions, you say yes or no, and you don't have to talk to a human being, and you can renew your prescription. Well, that saved a lot of jobs, but the right way to handle that would be, at the same time, there are some people who call up who get confused when they're with this thing, or they have a complicated thing. They want to renew it, but they want to change the dosage or something like that, or they want to talk to someone about how to take the medicine. So in that case, you might get rid of a lot of people, but you might actually hire two or three nurses who are pretty highly skilled, who can answer those questions and deal with those hard questions. And overall, that's a better compromise, and that's a better set of trade-offs than having lots of people answering the phone doing very rote things like renew my prescription number 47627. Technology can change, what work needs to be done by a human being and what level of work can be done by a human being.
Stephen Perlstein, business columnist for The Washington Post. Stephen, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Okay, so your thoughts. Do you think there is a parable about outsourcing or contracting out jobs in the lifeguard firing? Do you have hope that there will be nurses added to an automated pharmacy phone line? Let us know your thoughts hereandnow.org or facebook.com/hereandnowradio, where we also want to hear your stories about interacting with outsourcing. Let us know. Latest news is next. Here and Now.